Good evening, and welcome to the Perpetual Notion Machine. I'm your host, Catherine Garvins. On tonight's show, we'll learn about the new Naturalist in Residence program at the Madison Public Library from my guest, Christina Gomez, Community Engagement Librarian for the Madison Public Library, and John C. Newman, the Madison Public Library Naturalist in Residence. Christina and John, thank you for joining us on the Perpetual Notion Machine.
Hi, Catherine. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. So, Christina, let's start with you. Can you tell us a bit more about your work in general as a community engagement librarian and the inspiration for the Naturalist in Residence program?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as a community engagement librarian at Madison Public Library, I have an amazing role. I get to work with community members of all kinds throughout the city of Madison and develop really responsive and inclusive and innovative programs and services that you see happen at the library and actually outside of the library as well. So the inspiration for the Naturalist in Residence project actually started in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I worked for many years before coming to Madison. And when I was a librarian out there, I was able to work with some naturalists and some poets as part of this really wonderful grant project where we sought to, you know, increase climate education awareness through the lens of poetry and the humanities. And it was such an inspiring project for me. It was really a highlight of my time out there, and it really stuck with me. So as I, you know, continued on in my career and came to Madison, one thing that really struck me about the city is just this wealth of green spaces, connection to nature and the urban environment and beyond. And I really thought about the role that libraries can play in connecting people to nature, thinking about the educational role that libraries have and what that could look like. And so we came up with this naturalist residency, which to my knowledge, I believe is one of the first in the country. So we're really excited, yeah, to kind of do this initial pilot year and see what it could look like.
That sounds absolutely wonderful. I agree that it's a unique and sounds like a very exciting program. So tell me a little bit about just the basics of what it is, what the goals of the program are for your engagement with the community.
Yeah, so when we think about the library and the library's role, we know that we're a really unique institution in that we provide free and equitable access to experiences, be those educational experiences, recreational enrichment. You know, as a library, we connect people, we enrich lives, we celebrate ideas. So when we think about those roles that we play as a library and how that connects to a naturalist program, you know, we're then thinking through things like how can we as a library collaborating with a naturalist really encourage our community members to learn more about the natural world, to explore nature, to reflect upon nature and their role within nature. And so partnering with a naturalist and really doing that through their guiding vision is really what we're looking to do. So connecting people to our natural world or reconnecting them in a sense, providing some foundational knowledge for them to really continue to learn about our earth, to learn about our changing environment and how to be good stewards of that. So that's really the goal, right? In inspiring people, promoting curiosity and wonder, and really being a resource for people as they, you know, move forward on their learning journey.
That's great. And John, so introduce us to you. Tell us a little bit about your background, what drew you to this naturalist work and the residency program, and a bit about that guiding vision that Christina referred to that you're bringing to this program.
Sure. Thank you. I've been kind of drawn to nature for like all my life. I've always been learning new things about plants, wanting to go outside, going camping. It's kind of hard to keep me indoors at times. My background, I've studied at UW-Platteville, learning botany. I've also got a Master Naturalist certification with the UW Extension, which is really just a way to get people to volunteer. It's a wonderful program. I love it. And to just get people to constantly learn new things. I saw the Master Naturalist, or I saw the library's Naturalist in Residence program as kind of an outlet for me to educate and express the things that I love about the natural world. For me, it's kind of hard to get me to shut up about this stuff. So having an outlet where I can just tell people about how everything's connected and how like we're connected to it as well, and just these amazing things that are out there, is kind of what got me into it. And that wonder is a big part of why I wanted to, of what my overarching vision is for this. I've been constantly in awe of the natural world for a long time, and I want to bring that to other people as often as I can. So show them things about just how far back the Tree of Life goes, what was going on in Wisconsin millennia or eons ago, learning about how things are connected right now and just what we can do with the nature that we have here. It's a humbling and gratifying experience to see these things out in nature and to share those things with others.
What type of programming and offerings are you putting together to create that sense of wonder in attendees?
I'm planning to try to show people the depth of nature, like learning how close animals are to fungi, for instance, and how very unrelated we are to plants, but like still part of that same family tree. Learning about how you asked about specific programs. Some of the specific programs that I have in mind are things about foraging. Learn that like there's plants that are outside that you could absolutely just go out there, pick and bring into your kitchen and turn into a healthy meal. And when I've tried to bring up foraging in an educational context to some audiences, a lot of them are like, oh my God, why are you picking that? Don't put that in your mouth. you're gonna poison yourself. And it takes a lot of unpacking to show folks that like, no, these are safe to eat. This is how I know this is safe to eat. And really all of the things that you eat in the first place came from nature, and they've just adapted to living with humans over eons of time. It's just that like the stuff that we buy at the grocery store and farm out in fields is sort of I wouldn't necessarily say well-behaved family relatives of this Tree of Life, but the kind of behavior that humans are accustomed to at this point. We can predictably plant wheat, harvest wheat and put it into something. Whereas like some other crops, they don't really deal well with human hands telling them where and how to grow. And we have to meet with those plants on that plant's terms. Oh, this is when the morels are coming up. This is when the black raspberries are able to be harvested. I can't take this thing out of its natural environment and put it in a pot at home. I have to go out to where it is. Foraging especially fosters this attitude of stewardship in many, many people. Some of my favorite foraging teachers have been people that I've politically disagreed with, but they are so passionate about foraging that they're like, heck yeah, let me preserve this forest because this is where I find my favorite foods at. I can't find it at the grocery store, so I have to protect this park. Otherwise, I'm never going to get it again without driving a farther distance. Foraging helps to foster that attitude of stewardship and responsibility in people that I've otherwise wouldn't expect it in.
So what format will these adventures, for lack of a better word, take? You mentioned maybe having some talks or speakers. What other types of formats are you looking at?
a lot of the formats that I've been putting together are going out to places, taking a walk, and just having a conversation with folks, sharing what I know and helping it to connect to stuff that they already know, or helping them relearn things that they've already learned. But there's other ideas. There's going to be some indoor activities. I'd love to get a microscope activity going where we can get a good look at nature that we don't all often think about, or some nature that we would rather not think about at times. I'd love to get, and that would be an entirely indoor activity, although, you know, we would have to go out to some places and harvest. I would love to go out to certain ponds and get water samples from them and bring them back inside. That way people have like a direct connection to the kinds of things that we're looking at. But I'd also love to have some artistic classes in there where we're just sort of learning how to depict nature with our own hands. Yeah.
Are these programs designed for people of all ages? Are there some that are more appropriate to families or children, or more appropriate to adults?
I definitely plan to have activities available for a wide range of ages and just available for everyone. I will make sure that there are some programs that are tailored to specific age groups. You don't really get excited about nature until somebody brings it to the place that you're already at, kind of in your own learning. At least that's how I got excited about this stuff. I got excited about this learning about dandelions back when I lived in the Chicagoland area.
Sorry, John.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, the John's residency has a theme, and it's nature is for everyone, which I'm really excited about because I think it really just highlights what it is we're trying to do as part of this naturalist in residence. And, one of the goals is to make nature and exploring nature more accessible for people of varying ages. So one of the programs that John has planned is in partnership with the local Madison chapter of the Feminist Bird Club. The Feminist Bird Club actually has graciously donated some birding backpacks to Madison public libraries that will be available for checkout with a library card for free. So their goal with these birding backpacks is to make birding more accessible, to remove barriers to birding. Not everyone has the funds to maybe purchase some binoculars. They might feel a bit intimidated about birding. So, in collaboration with the Feminist Bird Club and with the fact that these birding backpacks are going to be soon available, John will be co-leading a birding for families event in September, on September 10th. So that's a really great example of an outdoor event that will be tailored specifically for families. It'll be very welcoming for new birders. It'll help get kids excited about bird watching, learning more about what are the skills I need to be a birder, like observation skills and being aware of the world around us. So I think John is doing a wonderful job with really thinking about different audiences. And again, how are we really reinforcing this idea that nature is for everyone and really making it a welcoming series of events.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely fabulous. You mentioned the September event, Christina. When do the events start, and how long does the residency program, the Naturalist in Residence program, extend?
Yeah, so the very first program is actually on September 3rd. It's a Saturday. It'll be at 11 a.m. at our Lakeview Library. And it's called Meet the Naturalist. So it's mm-hmm. It's going to be a great chance to actually meet John. And, I tell John this all the time, but one of the things that really drew me to him and his application is the passion that he has for nature and naturalism and sharing that passion with others. So the very first program is an opportunity to do just that, right? Meet John, learn more about him, learn about the residency, ask questions like, what is a naturalist? Like, what does that even mean? How do you become one? So we're really excited to kick off the residency with that program on September 3rd. And then the the plan is to have programs throughout the month of September and into October. And we will have all of that information on a dedicated website to the naturalists and residents, and we'll be promoting those through various channels and throughout the library social media.
Great. In the advanced materials that you sent me, you also mentioned that there were some naturalist book recommendations. Are there specific titles that you've already identified?
Yeah, so this is one of my favorite parts. Because I am personally very interested in naturalism too. We have some book lists that are created for children and teens and adults. And then the plan is John is going to also share some of his personal favorites. So I'm happy to share like one of mine, which is called Return to Nature. It's a newer book that came out this year, and it has each chapter explores a different geographic region, like natures and oceans or mountains and valleys. And it has a series of activities that you could do in those spaces to reconnect yourself to the natural world. So some of the things are kind of like guided meditation in certain spaces or forest bathing. I found it to be a really great introduction to ways that we can reconnect to natural spaces, both in urban and in non-urban settings. So that's an example of the type of books that might be on the book list. And then, we're excited to showcase John's books as well.
Oh, I was going to say one of my favorite books has to be The Way Life Works by Malin Hoagland and Bert Dodson. That probably more than any book got me solidified the areas that I wanted to study when I went to school.
And going back again to Christina's question about what is a naturalist? I know, John, you mentioned the Wisconsin Master Naturalist Program. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit about that?
The Wisconsin Master Naturalist is a volunteer program put on by the UW Extension. It's kind of a lot like the Master Gardener program that they have, where they reach out to the general public to ask if anybody would like to start learning more about their field of expertise, but also share their knowledge with the general public as well, or put their knowledge to use, making the world a better place, as it were. With the Master Naturalist program, that takes the space of a few, like there's a few different, how would I put it? There's a number of programs all over the state, and each certification program is tailored to that specific region. My Master Naturalist certification was here in Madison on the north side, and that brought us around the area. They would take us around the area, give us classes over the course of, I think, eight weekends in summer. We would go out to, Devil's Lake area, but also stick around Madison because it was very much an urban nature kind of education. However, each certification class, again, is tailored to its specific area. And when you have that certification, the way to keep that certification is to complete, I believe, 40 hours of volunteer work in a sort of naturalist setting over the course of a year. So that's how they motivate you to keep learning things and keep doing the good work out there. For me, though, being a naturalist feels like an arbitrary distinction in some ways. Nature is very much a part of being human in the first place. Like every time we build cities and try to keep nature out, you know, crows will start to fly in, coyotes will start to come in, and nature will come back to you whether you like it or not. I mean, you have to consume nature on a daily basis in the form of your food, your water, and your air. These aren't things that just get duplicated by a Star Trek like replicator machine. They have to be grown by someone. They have to be processed by someone. They have to be cooked by someone. And they're just, it's just a part of being human. When we draw a line distinguishing ourselves from nature, it supports some very problematic behavior, like just dumping carbon dioxide into the air around us, like dumping chemical waste into streams that feed into the local watershed and eventually trickle down into your drinking water. When we say that, like, we are separate from nature, it really just encourages bad behavior in a way. And when I think about, like, what could be done to help shift this dynamic, connecting and getting a clearer view of our place in the world is the first thing that comes to mind. So, like, this idea of inspiring wonder in nature that I thought up for this event, that's more like the candy to get you in the door. And it was the candy that got me in the door of nature too. But really, the inspiring that awe, inspiring that wonder, also inspires a stewardship in you. It's about recognizing that, oh, my actions have consequences, not only for my neighbors, but also to these other creatures that I might not have never noticed. You know, I don't think about them.
And that sounds like the compelling and overriding message that you're trying to communicate through the residency.
Yeah, yeah. And it also has an impact on people that we don't think about. I mean, the pollution is often trickles down to the people that don't have as much power as corporations or people that are letting out that pollution in the first place, simply because they don't have the power to challenge that. So, like, it gets passed along from person to neighborhood to community until it arrives at a community that can't get rid of it. And so it feels like a moral and ethical issue too. It's a matter of getting justice when we try to reconnect with nature. Right.
Yeah, thank you for that, John. I'll throw this out to either one of you. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you think is a critical thing for our listeners to know about the Naturalist in Residency program?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to ask John maybe to share a little bit about a program idea that he's developing in that involves a canoeing trip, which I think is super cool. And I think people will really enjoy that. So John, I don't think we have the date confirmed, but if you could share a little bit about that program and why you felt it was important to offer it as part of the residency.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been involved with the Friends of Starkweather Creek for a long time, but by long time, I mean a few years, but the people that formed like the core of that board are people that have been on that board for decades. And as a result, they don't often talk about the history of that creek so much. So I had the wonderful fortune of having a conversation with someone who used to be on that board and didn't realize that I was on that board still. And they told me about the history of this creek that, yeah, there's manufacturers that used to just dump their chemical waste into Starkweather. How this creek used to be just called a ditch in local newspapers, and not knowing the kind of, I had not known any of this. I've been up and down that creek a handful of times. Actually, I've been up and down that creek probably a dozen times, and nobody in that community talked about it because they had already known the history of it to each other. So it's the kind of thing that somebody new coming along doesn't get to hear too often. And I had been wanting to do a canoe trip up and down Starkweather Creek for a while, but hearing about that history confirmed it for me, because like this is stuff that has closed wells in our city that has made it like this water is not drinkable. Please find your drinking water elsewhere in our city. This is important stuff that affects you and me and everybody that we live with. And so it turned it from this fun idea of let's canoe, let's learn about the stuff that grows along creeks and stuff that swims in the waters, to this is an important message that people need to hear, because hopefully it can inspire somebody else to be like, okay, I'm going to go along that creek bed too and start, you know, cleaning up as much as I can. I know people like that go out with trash bags and gloves every time they take just a regular walk. And it's this kind of thing that I want to do, but I haven't up till this point just because I'm forgetful.
Oh, that sounds like a wonderful trip, John. So is there a website or webpage they can go to for more information on the program?
Yes, all of the Naturalist in Residence programming will be on the Madison Public Library website. The short URL for that is madpl.org/naturalist. On that page, you can learn a little bit more about John, the theme for the residency, and then programs as they become available. And you can register right on the page for that, for those programs. And we'll also have our book list listed there as well.
Wonderful.
Another important thing for me about this program is making sure that nature is for everyone, and making sure that people with disabilities are accounted for, people with different learning styles are accounted for. I just want to make sure that everybody knows that this is, that if you need any kind of accommodation, please reach out to us. It's very important that I make sure that, you know, nobody's driven away by thinking like, oh, okay, this might not be my kind of event. Well, find out from us. We'll be happy to help.
That's wonderful, John. Thank you. I've been speaking with Christina Gomez, Community Engagement Librarian for the Madison Public Library, and John C. Newman, Naturalist in Residence, about an upcoming series of nature experiences coming this fall to the Madison Public Library. Christina and John, thank you again so much for joining us.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you for having us.
You've been listening to The Perpetual Notion Machine. My name is Catherine Garvins. Tune in next week when host Dominic Ross will explore using synchrotron X-rays to analyze historical texts with guests from the UW-Madison Physics Department. Have a good night.